All right, Marshall can open court.
Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Flory, Judge Connolly, and Judge Reyes. The Honorable James B. Flory presiding.
All right, good morning, counsel. The matter that's before the court now is Howard Norsetter versus the Minnesota Twins LLC, court file 821-0443. We're here for oral argument, and even though we're appearing virtually via Zoom, our rules are the same. You'll each have 15 minutes for your principal arguments, and counsel for appellant, you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. We are recording the proceedings here today, and those recordings will be made available pursuant to our normal business practices, but our rules prohibit any other recording of these proceedings. As we begin, I would ask that you identify yourselves for our record as you begin your argument. And with that, we can begin. Counsel for appellant, you may proceed.
Thank you. May I please? Hello? I'm getting feedback. May it please the court. My name is Steve Uhr, UHR. I represent the plaintiff, Howard Norsetter.
All right. We're not hearing feedback on our end, Mr. Uhr. So tell us if you run into any further difficulties.
Okay, thank you. It's good now. There have been three primary developments since this case was first before this court, and the court then reversed a summary judgment ruling in favor of the twins. First, plaintiffs have obtained additional discovery. Most importantly, the resume of the 8 domestic scouts that the twins hired in the fall of 2017 have been produced, and they show really without any question that the twins decided to pass over Norsetter 8 times and instead hired substantially younger people with substantially less Major League Baseball scouting experience, or really any scouting experience. Also obtained through discovery were emails from Norsetter to Falvey, Derek Falvey, who was a decision maker in this case, showing that Norsetter in his final year spent with the Twins, spent considerable time scouting non-Australian players, and that Falvey was aware of this. Now, the second change is that defendant no longer is claiming that plaintiff has failed to make out a prima facie case, which is the first step in the McDonnell-Douglas test. The third primary change is that the plaintiff also has brought a motion for summary judgment. So there's two motions before your court. The court below, of course, granted defendant's motion and declined to grant plaintiff's motion. Mr. Norsetter brought this case. Plaintiff, not the defendant, gets to decide what the legal theory is. This is a failure to hire case. We have never challenged the Twins' decision to change its international scouting strategy. We are not challenging their decision not to have a scout living full-time in Australia. We are not challenging their decision to spend less money signing Australian players. They are entitled to use their judgment to run their business as they see fit. We may disagree with some of their decisions, but that really is not an issue in this case. Nor have we ever claimed that the Twins had any legal obligation to find a job for Norsetter in the organization after they decided they didn't want to scout in Australia. I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm sorry, my headphones are not working right. Nor have we ever claimed the Twins had a legal obligation to find a job for Norsetter somewhere else in the organization. The law does not impose any such obligation on the Twins. Their legal obligation is to not engage in age discrimination with respect to employment decisions. Here, the employment decision at issue was the decision of the Twins not to consider Norsetter for, not to interview Norsetter for, any of the 8 domestic scouting positions that were available in the fall of 2017, after he was told that his contract would not be renewed and before the final date of his contract. In fact, Norsetter didn't even know about those positions until this lawsuit was brought.
Well, on that point, counsel, do you agree that there is no, under the law, there is no duty to consider him for one of these domestic scouting positions or not?
Under the law, there is no duty to consider him. The duty is to not engage in age discrimination.
Then I guess I have to admit I'm you know, usually dense, but then I don't understand what the discrimination was. I mean, if there are, I mean, desires. There are younger domestic scouts, but if the twins were under no obligation to consider your client for one of those positions, who cares whether they're younger, older, or non-existent? Explain to me why I'm missing something.
The twins did not consider Norsetter for those positions. It's our position that they did not consider him for those positions because of his age.
And what evidence is there of that, Mr. Other than the statistical evidence from the resumes and the ages of the domestic scouts that were hired?
Okay. Well, there's quite a bit. And again, this is a circumstantial evidence case. And I look at the decision below as basically the court indicating that there can be a circumstantial evidence case because, frankly, the evidence, the circumstantial evidence of age discrimination is quite great here, Your Honor. Initially, they have not come up with a reason, a plausible reason for their decision not to consider him and not to hire him for those positions. The only
they
have reason
no duty to, why does it matter?
Because of the second part of the McDonnell-Douglas test requires that they do so, that they come up with a legitimate, non-discriminatory explanation for their decision not to consider Norsetter for these positions. And since they did not meet that, because their only explanation basically is that his point of distinction was as an Australian scout. But that's not a reason not to consider him for the other positions. They don't say that he wasn't qualified. In fact, they say that he was qualified. They said that he was an extremely good and productive scout for the twins. So the reason that they give simply doesn't go to the question. It's true. It's my understanding that of all the major league clubs, Howard Norsetter was the only full-time scout for any of those clubs that actually live in Australia. So in a sense that was a point of distinction, but he scouted everywhere. He's from America. He scouted in North America. He scouted in Latin America. He scouted in the Pacific Rim. He scouted in Australia. In fact, at the last...
Mr. If I could just stop you there, because I don't think that any of that is disputed in the record, but I have to admit, I share Judge Connolly's concerns, and I will freely admit he's far more intelligent than I am. And if he's confused, then I feel like I actually might have a reason to be confused as well. But you stated that there's no legal duty for the twins, no legal obligation to find a job for him, and yet you characterize this as a failure to hire case. But if the twins didn't have an obligation to hire him or find a job for him, then how can you even satisfy the initial aspect of failing to hire him?
Your Honor, it's a question of intent. The question is whether the decision that they took with respect to Mr. Norsetter did not take, were motivated by an anti-age animus.
But if there's no legal obligation to find a job for him, then how could they have failed?
Because
I'm confused.
It's our position that their decision was based on unlawful discriminatory reasons, Your Honor. Now, we're not saying that they didn't have always have an obligation in such a situation to hire or to retain position, to hire, retain Norsetter in some other position. But they do have an obligation not to violate the law. And the law requires that all employment decisions cannot have an anti-age animus, not have an anti-race animus, cannot have an anti-sex animus. So whether or not, so it's really a different question, Your Honor. We've never said that they had to hire him. And I think that's the law. Because if that were the case, then in fact, you'd impose a burden on them even when there's no evidence of any discrimination at all. And that's not what the law is.
Okay, but the evidence I hear you presenting, I think was the evidence that established pretext. And I don't think either party disputes that a prima facie case of pretext had been made which means the burden shifts over then to the twins to show, to provide a legitimate reason and to show that it was not offered just as a phony excuse. And the twin, and the district court found that the twins did because they had a legitimate business, they were making legitimate business decisions. It wasn't based on age. It was based on their looking to really switch and reorganize their international scouting and decisions that had been made by the Major League Baseball that affected how they approached international scouting. So why isn't, what is, did the district court err in that? I mean, what evidence is there of that that reason was just a phony excuse?
Because that is a reason for, they had a legitimate reason for reorganizing their international scouting program. They had a legitimate reason for deciding that they didn't want any scout to live in Australia. But they have not come up with a legitimate reason or explanation for their decision not to consider Norsetter for the open domestic scouting positions. And the court did not provide one. In fact, what the court said is that the twins took the position that Norsetter wasn't qualified to scout domestically. But in fact, they've made it clear from the beginning of this litigation that he was and is qualified to scout domestically. And if I could go on to additional reasons showing why we have met our burden, at a minimum, you go to part three of the test, which is basically a question of fact with respect to pretext. And I'd say they've given different explanations for their decision not to consider Norsetter. He was told at the time that they weren't going to consider him because he would be a disgruntled employee if he were forced to relocate. They've taken the position that he was an Australian scout. His point of distinction was as a scout in Australia. But as I've indicated, that doesn't really explain why they decided not to consider him for the Norsetter position. When Falvey testified, he said the reason they didn't consider him was that he didn't know. He didn't know that Norsetter wanted to stay with the organization, even though the evidence is clear that he did know, that he was told that. And the defendant in the last appeal took the position that, in fact, Falvey did know. So there's an inconsistent testimony. There's false testimony that was provided by Falvey under oath. That also is something that it's appropriate for a jury to consider in deciding what their intent was when they decided not to consider Norsetter for the other positions. In addition, there's an employee manual, which certainly if you read the employee manual and the relevant language, it clearly indicates that it's the twins' general practice in situations like this, where an employee is reorganized out of a position through no fault of his own, to see if there's somewhere else within the organization where he might fit. And they didn't do it, so they didn't follow that. And the explanation that they gave is that, well, that only applies to at-will employees. But Norsetter was an at-will employee, and he signed statements to that effect. So you've got changing positions. You have the fact that Mr. Falvey did not provide a truthful explanation for the decision. You know, you have Falvey when he testified, well, you say that his point of distinction is an Australian scout. Well, what was it that he would, what skills did he not have that he should have to be a good domestic scout? And he couldn't come up with one. I mean, American baseball is American baseball wherever it's played. And it's clear from Norsetter's experience throughout the world, throughout North America, that he did have the skill set to scout in the United States. And the fact that they would not even let him know that they had these 8 open positions, they hired much younger people without experience for those positions, we believe it's a circumstantial case, we believe is sufficient evidence to go to the jury to try to determine what their intent really was. And again, we don't think it gets to that point because we think we should prevail on the second part of the test because they simply haven't come up with a credible reason for their
action. Is it fair to say that, you know, they weren't just eliminating your client's position, they were sort of shifting the whole international scouting, what's the word I'm looking for, sort of field and getting rid of a lot of other people? Is that a fair statement?
I don't know if that's true that they were getting around a lot of other people. They were moving things around. I mean, they say that they wanted to emphasize more of the Latin American market. But what they actually—
Well, apparently that hasn't worked either.
Well, you know, I was going to say, you know, one could argue—
No, I mean, here's the problem I'm having with your argument. You're saying, I mean, it sounds to me almost like you're saying, well, they don't have a duty to consider him for another position, but by God, all the other people they hired had better be at least his age, or they've engaged in discrimination. I mean, is that what you're saying?
No, no. There could be lots of reasons they could not consider him because they found out that he tends to sleep through baseball games, or he doesn't, you know what a strike is, or he sees a pitch that's 100 miles an hour and it looks like it's 40 miles an hour to him. So there could be lots of reasons that they would not want to consider him for another position. Lots of reasons why they wouldn't want him to be with the organization. Maybe he didn't get along with other people. Maybe he's gotten in fights with other players or their coaches or their family. I mean, there's lots of possible reasons, but they have to come up with a reason, and they haven't come up with one. So that means that we should prevail on the second part of the test. At a minimum, we should get to the third part of the test, in which it's the question for the jury. But it's true in any circumstantial case, Your Honor, that there's a factual dispute. There isn't direct evidence in the record. There's not a letter in his personnel file saying, we're not going to consider Howie for these other positions because he's over 60 years old. One doesn't get cases like that because, you know, an employer doesn't have to be that sophisticated to realize that you probably shouldn't do things like that. So that's why you look for circumstantial evidence. And again, they had no legal obligation to hire him. They had no legal obligation to consider him. They did have a legal obligation not to make their decisions based on his age. And we believe that's what the evidence shows here, Brian.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Your time has expired. You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Asmus, you may proceed.
Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Jason Asmus from the law firm of Taft, Stettinius & Hollister, representing the Minnesota Twins. As the court is aware, this is a single plaintiff, single claim age discrimination case. The focus on appeal is the second and third parts of the well-established McDonnell-Douglas test. The district court in this case twice granted summary judgment to the Twins as to both the second and third factors, and we believe correctly did so, and we would ask that decision be affirmed. I want to start by focusing on the second part of the test, which is, did the Twins, do the undisputed material facts in the record demonstrate that the Twins met their burden of production of a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for their decision? And I think Judge Sandy in his order aptly summarized the Twins' reason when he said the Twins assert they did not consider Mr. Norstetter for domestic scouting positions because his expertise was as an international scout. And as noted above, the Twins eliminated Mr. Norstetter's position in Australia due to a shift in international scouting philosophy and as a result of the Major League Baseball rules capping international player signing expenditures. And there is ample support in the summary judgment record. In fact, the material facts are undisputed. Mr. Falvey and Mr. Levine were the new leadership came in at the end of 2016 when they were looking at the baseball operations department in 2017. They studied the data and determined, consistent with positions they had at their prior teams, that scouting in niche markets and principally Australia was not a worthwhile investment. The Twins were spending a disproportionate amount of money vis-a-vis other teams in Major League Baseball, and not, in their view, generating a return on that disproportionate investment, coupled with the changes in the international bonus rules that were applicable. And they decided, as a result, to, as the court has noted this morning, shift their international scouting philosophy. They eliminated their full-time presence in Australia. They also eliminated in the international scouting department positions in other niche markets, including Taiwan, Sweden, and South Africa. As part of that decision-making process, the new Twins leadership viewed Mr. Norstetter's performance his knowledge, his experience, his expertise is being tied to the international scouting realm and tied to Australia. That's where he had lived as a permanent resident since 1984. It was where he worked for the Twins for all 27 years of his time with the club since 1991. All 27 years were as an international scout based in Australia and primarily responsible for Australia. And again, Mr. Falvey and Mr. Levine believed and had the view that his talents, his knowledge, his expertise was tied to the international scouting realm in the Australian market. And they were absolutely entitled to have that view. And the evidence bears that out. There's been suggestion that Mr. Falvey somehow falsely testified about what he did or didn't know or what his view was or not. All the court needs to do is look in the appellant's principal brief where there are block quotes of both testimony from Mr. Falvey and Mr. Levine, where they explain what the view and what the decision-making was with respect to Mr. Norsetter. And they were consistent that their view and the reason for their decision, both to eliminate the full-time presence in Australia and not to consider Mr. Norsetter for other positions, which were only domestic scouts, was because his skill set was specific to the Australian market. Pages 17 and 18 of the appellant's principal brief have the block quote of Mr. Falvey's testimony. Pages 19 and 20 of the principal brief have Mr. Levine's testimony. It is clear, it is undisputed, that is the reason for the Twins' decision. They clearly and consistently explained that Mr. Norsetter was not considered or hired for other positions because they made the business decision to eliminate their full-time presence in Australia. And their view was that Mr. Norsetter was inextricably tied to Australia. Relatedly, as was discussed at length in the opening comments today, there is no duty as a matter of law in a position elimination, which this was, to find a new position for the employee whose position was eliminated. And the district court below, in both of its summary judgment orders, made that determination and cited that applicable case law. That part is in fact undisputed. There is no legal duty.
But appellant argues, Mr. Asmus, I don't think he disagrees with much of what you've said here, but he argues that even though there is no duty, the decision still can't be based on age animus, and that's where the district court fell short. What's your response to that?
And with respect, the response to that, Your Honor, is the arguments that relate to step two, which is, did the Twins demonstrate a legitimate non-discriminatory reason, are based on the subjective belief of Mr. Norsetter that he would have excelled as a domestic scout and therefore he should have been considered for that position. And the only reason that the Twins didn't consider him for that position was because of his age. There is simply no evidence in the record to support that argument that somehow that the undisputed material facts do not show that the Twins' decision was based on what I just went through, which is their view that his knowledge, experience, and expertise was tied to Australia. They eliminated that full-time presence. They were not scouting internationally in those locations anymore. And that was where Mr. Norsetter spent the entirety of his 27-year career, was in the international scouting department in Australia. And the district court below, in its both of its summary judgment orders again, expressed that the court is not to evaluate the merits of the decision. The court's inquiry is limited to whether there was an honest explanation of the behavior. In both summary judgment orders below, the district court made that determination, citing the same case, the Krennic case out of the Eighth Circuit. And the undisputed material facts show that the Twins provided an honest explanation of its behavior for their not considering Mr. Norsetter for the domestic scouting positions. Whether Mr. Norsetter likes that explanation or doesn't like that explanation doesn't make the explanation not an honest explanation or false or phony. And in fact, I think the question, Judge Floyd, really relates to the third argument, which is pretext. So as the district court determined, the twins did show a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for their action. And so the burden then shifts back to the employee to overcome that showing by demonstrating pretext. And what's important about the pretext showing that is required to survive summary judgment is it requires two things. The employee is required to show that the explanation provided was false, was phony. And number two, that age was in fact the reason for the decision. And this, again, in both summary judgment orders, the district court found that based on the undisputed material facts, Mr. Norsetter did not carry his burden of demonstrating both elements of pretext.
So what, and, what are we to make of appellant's arguments then that, at least on the pretext, that based upon the twins' various positions that they've taken over the course of this litigation, that there are genuine issues of material fact as to whether the stated reason was a pretext?
First of all, Your Honor, the assertion that the twins have taken various positions regarding the reason is just not true. The twins have always provided a single reason because it was the reason for its decision to not consider Mr. Norsetter being the change in the international scouting philosophy and the elimination of his position in Australia and his knowledge, experience, and expertise being tied to Australia. All of these, the so-called change in the reasons were merely the twins responding to various arguments that have been made throughout these proceedings, including on appeal, for the appellant to try to suggest, well, there was this reason, this reason, this reason. The record simply does not bear that out, Your Honor. We've addressed that in our briefing papers before the court. And again, the arguments that have been made as to pretext are really that the twins made a bad decision. And that's not sufficient to carry the burden of showing pretext. And as the district court concluded in its order, citing the Meads case, the Minnesota Court of Appeals case of 2006, to prove pretext, the employee has to do more than show that the employment action was ill-advised or unwise. Rather, has to show that the employer has offered a phony excuse. And again, there is no basis in the record to establish that the twins' stated reason was phony or false. And I've addressed, Your Honor, already a couple of the arguments that the twins have given inconsistent reasons or have changed their reasons, et cetera, that's simply not true. With respect to the argument that was raised in the opening comments about Mr. Falvey somehow lying in his deposition testimony, we addressed that in the brief, that the deposition testimony shows he did no such thing. He provided in his testimony, which is block quoted in the appellant's opening brief, exactly the reasoning and viewpoint that the twins had as part of their decision. The fact that he testified that he didn't recall whether Mr. Norsetter expressed an interest in any other positions within the organization 19 months after that decision was made doesn't show any lying occurring, and certainly doesn't show that the reason that has consistently been provided was false or phony. With respect to the policy manual argument, Your Honors, the district court addressed that argument, and we believe correctly so in both summary judgment orders. Simply put, the manual doesn't require that terminated employees be considered to be transferred to other positions. All it does is lay out that it suggests that might be an alternative option. Again, this is, as Mr. Uhr has said, a failure to consider for hiring case, even though there's no legal duty to do so. The twins have explained, and the evidence shows that their decision was based on the shift in international scouting philosophy. The last comment I want to address, Your Honors, is the notion of statistics. That is that there were 8 domestic scouts hired towards the end of 2017, and 6 of them were younger than, or I'm sorry, 6 of them were out much younger than Mr. Norsetter, although 2 of them were within the class that Mr. Norsetter is in. Simply put, statistical evidence that younger employees were hired standing alone does not satisfy the burden of proving pretext, the burden of proof has to be sustained that the legitimate non-discriminatory reason was false. In other words, statistics would only be relevant to whether age was a determining factor if the burden was met that the stated reason was in fact false. And the statistics do not show that the twins' reason for its decision was false or that there was a phony excuse. And so, yes.
So as I think Mr. rightly pointed out, seldom if ever is there a smoking gun where you've got a document that says we're letting him go because of his age. And these cases are proved by circumstantial evidence. You mentioned the statistics. There are statistics that younger people were hired. We've got the information that he scouted not only, his scouting wasn't limited to just Australia. He scouted all over the world. Scouting is a fungible skill. It's one that's easily transferable. Spotting baseball talent is something that can be done, whether it's in Australia or Latin America or Asia, anywhere. So why isn't all the evidence enough to let it go to a jury to decide whether or not this indeed was a legitimate age discrimination case based on all the circumstantial evidence here?
So three points, Your Honor. First, as to the statistics issue, again, the statistics by themselves do not establish the both required elements of pretext because they do not demonstrate the falsity of the stated reason. The fact that Mr. Norsetter scouted in other areas, claims to have been responsible for the signing of players outside of Australia, that is all geared towards the second element, which is a challenge to the twins' stated legitimate non-discriminatory reason. And the twins were absolutely entitled to make the determination that they did based on their view that Mr. Norsetter's performance, knowledge, experience, and expertise was tied to the international scouting realm and in Australia, where he was for the entire 27-year career. And so there is no fact dispute in the record that is sufficient to generate a fact issue to go to a jury on either the second or the third parts of the test, Your Honor. And I see my time is up. Unless there are other questions, I will conclude there. Thank you.
There are none at this point. Thank you, Mr. Asmus. Mr. Ur, you have 5 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. In terms of the other explanations they've given, as indicated, they indicated that initially the reason weren't going to hire him because they thought he'd be a disgruntled employee. That's another explanation. Mr. Falvey testified that the reason they didn't offer him another position, he didn't know about it. How can you offer another position to someone if you don't know that they're interested in another position? So that contradicts the clear evidence in the record that he indicated that he was interested in another position, and that was passed on to Mr. Falvey. Now, you know, maybe he, I don't know why he did that.
On that point, Mr., was that the evidence that you're talking about, was that in your client's affidavit? Or I should say, was the only evidence of that in your client's affidavit?
With respect to being a disgruntled, that he was—
No, about that he didn't—
No, that's—
No, the test, the evidence about he didn't know that they were, offering it to him and they didn't know he wanted it. Was that evidence in anything except your client's affidavit?
The twins acknowledged that Falvey was told that Norsetter wanted to stay with the team. I don't think that's an issue in dispute, Your Honor. And it's from the testimony of Falvey and testimony of Radcliffe, who was Norsetter's, who Norsetter reported to. Norsetter told Radcliffe that he wanted to stay with the twins. He'd leave Australia in any capacity. He wanted to remain with the club. And Radcliffe passed that information on to Mr. Falvey. And I don't think there's any dispute, Your Honor. I just go back to their reason, because it's really a non-reason. It's like Minnesota decides they want to put more district court judges in Ramsey County, and takes them out of Hennepin County. And there's a great judge in Hennepin County who's even worked in Ramsey County on occasion. And they let him go. They hire a bunch of new judges for Ramsey County. And he says, well, why wasn't I even considered? I'm a great judge. You know, I've worked in Ramsey County. It's not that far away. And they tell him, because your point of distinction is as a Hennepin County judge. Your skill set is as a Hennepin County judge. That's not a reason. And that wouldn't satisfy anybody as a reason. If you were that person who was in that situation and they told, and you were clearly qualified for a job and they hired eight people that were less qualified than for the job than you, and all they're going to say is that your point of distinction was as this, when you were more than qualified to work as one of those positions, you were more qualified than all eight of those people, and you weren't considered for even one of those positions. That's not a satisfying answer. And that is why that at a minimum, we get to discuss, we get to raise this before a jury. And the jury can consider whether in fact that is a legitimate explanation or whether it's a pretext. And we have additional, as I've discussed, additional evidence, circumstantial evidence or pretext. But you go to the second part of the test, you know, you look at cases, well, often in the pretext, they'll say in the second part, well, he wasn't qualified. Well, we didn't know, or you know, he engaged in conduct insubordination. They've got a reason. They've got a reason for not considering him for the other positions. They don't have a reason here. They just made up something. Point of distinction. For purposes of this litigation, the lawyer said, well, what can we say? We'll say his point of distinction was as an Australian scout. He would have moved. He said he was gonna move. He's scouted around the world. So that simply is not a reason, Your Honor. One more quick thing. I believe Mr. Esmus said that the district court indicated that the reason they weren't going to, that the reason they weren't going to district court said the twins assert they did not consider Mr. Nersetter for domestic scouting positions because his expertise was as an international scout. All the district court did there is quote the defendant saying that this is the reason we didn't do it. District court didn't make any finding with respect to whether the twins provided a legitimate explanation for its decision not to hire Nersetter, not to consider, not to inform him about all of these open positions for which he was clearly qualified. Why would the twins not want to consider him? He was a great scout. You know, the fact that he worked in Australia, so what? What if the Major League Baseball decided no more international scouting? No one can scout internationally. All the players have to come from the US, and the twins hire 10 domestic scouts, and they don't even consider one of their best scouts for those positions, fully qualified, fully able. My time is up.
Thank you, Mr. Rupp. Thanks to both of you, counsel, for your excellent briefing and arguments in the matter here today. We will take the matter under advisement at this time, and we will issue a decision on the matter within the statutory time frame. We stand adjourned on this matter at this time.